Praise God, we have been on the panorama of the Bible, and we should receive more panorama. In fact, during the last trip that Pastor David had to Russia and he came back, we were both expecting more panorama, New Testament or whatever that was. And what the angel Shama did was show him something that looks like a cube, in which all six dimensions are taking place at the same time. And there is one dimension, the present was at the bottom, heaven was the above. Like, imagine a cube with six sides. And he was in the middle of the cube, and at the bottom was the present. And then at the top was heaven, and then in front was the panorama, and behind him was Jesus and the angels, and then on the right side was the angel and demonic realm, and then on the left side was future, that's right, the future, prophetic future that God has. So all the dimensions are happening at once, and when he came back, we sat down, spent some time together, and we sort of figured out that all these that God has given was when God revealed to him at Madaba, it was one section, and now God shows all the six sections, plus what God is doing is that he gave him the possibility of entering whichever section, and all the prophecies he received, some are from the left side, the prophecies of things to come, and then he has a permanent open right side where he always sees the angel and demonic realm. So that's permanently open, and of course the present that's happening is at the bottom, and Jesus and angels and various sections, Jesus and apostles. All these are found in the book of Ephesians. When we came back, studying the Bible, figuring out, because the Lord told me also in my spiritual world experience that there are seven dimensions. And so when he went to pray and slept, the Lord showed him there was a cube within a cube, and perhaps many more creations of God. And so the bigger cube was the seventh dimension, and there's always a seventh dimension until you reach God. And so what happened is that we found that then the last all-night prayer when we were here, and I was praying about that, and then the Lord mentioned to me, last Friday all night, that all the six dimensions are in the book of Ephesians, and each chapter was one dimension. Ephesians chapter 1 is a panorama from the beginning, and then Ephesians chapter 6 was the right side where you have the angels and demonic realm, and talk about the demon sign. Ephesians chapter 6, and then Jesus and the apostles is chapter 4, and that will be the side that behind. And then heaven, the part of heaven, that would be definitely chapter 2, where we're in heavenly places. And then chapter 3 of Ephesians, where it speaks about the future, the things that God has in store. That's the future, on the future side. And that leaves only chapter 5, which is the present, where the church is today. And so there is all the six dimensions that are there, that are mentioned. And after this kind, we realized that what God has given was the ability to access the panorama as and when we prepare ourselves. And we realized that, wow, we got access that God has given. And Pastor David has so consecrated himself that as long as he's here, that every all night, we encourage most of you to fast for all night, fast in whatever way you can. If you have never fasted in your entire life, then perhaps just give up one meal, or in that one meal that you give up, change it to maybe a lighter meal, a veggie meal, or fruit meal. And so that will be the start of learning to fast. And for others of us who know how to fast, especially on fruits, or vegetarian, or vegetables, or once in a while, a full fast of water. And as the Lord leads you, according to your ability, your strength, and the circumstances that you're in. And so if we do that, we will create this environment in all-night prayer for many things that God wants to do. Not forgetting that the reason why we are looking through the panorama is to remember some of the things that the instructions that God has given, to learn from the Bible people, and to benefit and position ourselves in what God wants us to do. Everything that God reveals to us has a purpose. God is a God of economy. In other words, one thing that He does many things. And there's no wastage with God. And something that God does applies to many, many areas, overall areas. And so Pastor David consecrated himself to do that, to access into that which the prayer atmosphere. And so we tested it out when we were there in the house and praying. And so Shaman told him when we figure out all what the cube represent, so we all enter to half an hour of prayer, and then Shaman instructed him to not to pray but to just receive and just enter the dimension of the cube. And so for half an hour, and enter into the dimension of the cube. And so in this all night prayer, I've encouraged Pastor David to do that. He might join in a little bit of prayer here and there. But afterward, when he enters the cube, you might see him just... remember, he hasn't fallen asleep. Yeah. And so, he's just entering the cube. So please don't go and disturb him. And so, hey, wake up, Pastor, you know. Or whatever, okay. And it is also possible, remember, even if he snores, he might still be in the queue. because then he will enter the queue in his dream.
Okay. I know this regular one who pray walk one. So tonight those who never walk one, look chalk and walk, they can't see
you. Yeah. So we have decided to do that. And whatever he receives, I told Pastor David, don't bother to write down, just download. And then whenever I see him, then we will sit down and draw out whatever information the Lord gave, and then we pass it on to you all after we go through it. And so we are more or less finished with the Russia report, which we will come out and pass to you all too. But that's what's happening, and we're downloading more information. And primarily the information that we have wanted to access are information that will help us prepare for this end time revival. And especially the end of the revival will be John 14, verse 12, where we will do the works of Jesus in the greater works of Jesus, where we have the glory of God back in His church. And so that's a download of the information that we are going to have. So consider your privilege that we are going to part of it tonight. Of course, it doesn't mean that any one of you go near Him will enter the queue also. So don't purposely go near Him, hoping that you'll jump into the queue. Right, you might actually, instead of you going into the queue, you might be pulling him out of the queue. So, just leave him alone as he enters the queue or whatever the Lord wants for him. Praise the Lord. So, we'll download information that God has for us. Now, we have been touching on the panorama. We have completed Noah. But when we went through the panorama, what we were interested in is also Shama's instruction that went all the way through. Because at that time, when this panorama was given of the Old Testament from Noah to the prophets, Pastor David was in Madaba in Jordan and in a wide open place, and he was having that. And Shama was standing with him and looking at the panorama. And as the panorama was happening, Shama made some comments on all those things. So some of the comments that, in case you have forgotten, because these are important, in the life of Noah, after the ark landed, Shama says to David and says, from now, the spirit being will follow Shem. And Shem had open vision, and the spirit being also talked to Shem and said that he will follow Shem wherever he go. It was a reddish golden light. That was what the spirit being. And for those of you first time here, we have defined different things. Now, whenever we describe the things of the Spirit, we need definitions to define them. And of course, no human definition in human vocabulary will be enough. And if you find flaws in the definition, it's because of our human language or allegories. When Sadhu Sunasingh wrote his book, The Spiritual World, and we have it in PDF copy if you want, I think Eddie has a copy, he can email to you. Sadhu Sunath Singh, in a preface before, many people don't read the preface, but in the preface before he talked about his visions, he defined what he means. And his definition of the intermediate realm, and his definition of angels, and angels, he include those angels who have never been on earth, and some human who are serving as angels, and some beings from other planets also serving as angels. And then in his description, he talked about spirit beings also. But his spirit beings talk about some spirit beings who are from other planets of the galaxy that are visiting with us on planet Earth or helping along. And in his vocabulary, he did not describe spirit beings that are in line with the spirit beings of the Holy Spirit. So in our definition here, and then in his definition, he talked about saints and all those things. So in our definition, we have spirit being with a capital S, in a sense that the Holy Spirit spread himself throughout the universe, and the Holy Spirit can flow in seven spirits. You find it in the book of Revelation chapter 1. From the throne of God flow seven spirits. And we mentioned that the seven spirits are Isaiah 11, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and of course the spirit of the Lord. So you find all the seven types or areas of the spirit flowing. Now besides the seven flow of the spirit, wisdom itself got many divisions. And so the wisdom itself got many divisions. Each division can be manifested as a quote-unquote spirit being, in that sense. And there are then powers, there are many different areas of powers and degrees of powers which the spirit can spread himself out. And why do we perceive them as spirit beings then? Because when the spirit who has the power to measure himself, he can come in one measure, double measure, triple measure, and he came upon Jesus without measure. The theology of measure is solidly in the Bible. Otherwise, you don't have such a thing as a double portion of anointing that Elisha had from Elijah. So there is a double measure. And the spirit, I know, is a person. And if you want to use human language, say, hey, a person cannot divide himself. You're talking about human person. God, obviously, is not limited by a physical body. That's why if you say Jesus is in your heart, well, Jesus is in my heart too. Does it mean that he divided himself into two? So you see that human vocabulary cannot apply to the limitations of personalities. Where he's in all our heart. If there are 1 billion of us, does it mean that Jesus divided himself into 1 billion pieces? And what about those who are still in heaven and Jesus? So you can see that we cannot look at a person. When we define what a person is, you cannot put a human definition upon God. God is omnipresent. The very fact of omnipresent tells us that is different from our definition of person. See, our definition of person is limited to one space, one time, and one place. But God as a person exists in all places simultaneously. The Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has the power of omnipresent. Even the devil doesn't have that. He's limited in time and space, even spiritual space. But God has that ability, and that's what makes God, God. And so when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit can spread himself throughout the universe. And because God is God, just for a very rough definition, if the Holy Spirit takes one part of his finger and put it into another place, and another part of his finger in another place, for example, a rough allegory, the finger will talk. The finger will function as a person. You can understand now. Anytime when God divides himself up in manifold, the Godhead, each separate division of him will function like a being. Okay, understand that. And so when we talk about spirit beings, we're talking about spirit beings that bring forth the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is good in a way that it manifests. And that's why the Bible, when you say the Spirit of the Father, and then there's a light that comes, and then the Spirit of Christ, there's a light that comes, also the Holy Spirit, and then there are various spirit beings that are totally different from angels, and they look different from angels. Angels are different. Some of the higher angels, as we know, we talk about the different categories of God that we have done the teaching, where we have a category of those in charge of heaven, and then those in charge of government, those in charge of works. Spirit beings are in charge of government, and angels are in charge of works. And among the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, and they seem to demonstrate, and they are described in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 6, and they are described, they seem to be beings with six wings. Says with one wing they cover themselves, with one wing, one set of wings they do different things. And so you have all the different description of different ones of them. So here, one of the first things that took place at the time of Noah, after the ark landed, was that Shamash said, from now the spirit being will follow Shem. So there was a great change that came. And not forgetting the second thing that he said, when Abraham obeyed God and started the journey in Genesis chapter 12, just before that, Shamash said, after Shamash actually revealed himself to Abraham, and then show Abraham all the future, his descendants, and the beginning of the world at that point. And as Abraham was, after his father died, he's about to go forth, Shamash said, observe how the spirit of Abraham was quickened with this vision. And David saw a change in the countenance in Abraham's face, especially in his eyes. And then Shamash says, always pray into your visions. I will show you more things to come. So last week, we talked about praying into the visions. And with Abraham, there was another command that was made. In fact, there were three commands in Abraham's life. When Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, in the book of Genesis, Shammah said to David, observe, the Lord is pleased with what Abraham is doing. Always honor the Lord with your tithes. And that was an important observation. And I noticed this, you know, usually it doesn't mean that tithes are the shortcut to prosperity. Because tithe is only one commandment. When you obey the law of tithing, you need to obey all the other laws too. And so some Christians take things as a shortcut. You know, give God money, then you'll be blessed. So that would be a wrong attitude. On the other hand, you can do everything right, but you have not tithe. That will be the one thing that holds you back from financial prosperity. So it is important to accommodate the law of tithing into our lives. In the command that was made, another command, when Abraham was sacrificing Isaac, his son, at the moment, as Abraham was just about to sacrifice his son, Shammah said, observe, from now the grace of God will flow to Isaac. And then there was a light that shone upon Isaac at the time when Shammah says, observe, a light shone upon him. Says the grace of God will now flow upon Isaac. And so that's why we have covered so far up to the life of Abraham. But you'll notice that in the panorama we are learning something. That through various events, God changes the face of a person's life. After Terah died, Shammah revealed himself to Abraham again, and then Abraham obeyed God. That there are major events in our life, and life is measured not by calendar alone, but life is measured by events. And sometimes the event doesn't necessarily look like the type of event we want or we expect. But events are important, and behind it, if you keep walking with God through various events, your life can grow from glory to glory, grace to grace. Today we look at the life of Jacob. Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. Because these are short little excerpts. We're not looking at their whole life, but we're looking at a part of the life where the panorama shows us and enhances some areas of their life that we are interested to see. In the book of Genesis, we look at the life of Jacob, and at the place where Jacob began to interact with the angels, is in chapter 28, when Jacob was running away from his brother Esau. In chapter 28, it says there in verse 12, then he dreamt as he slept there, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it stopped reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. What Jacob saw was a staircase to heaven. It's not just Jacob's ladder. You know, the ladder with this thing, and then he has to climb up. Imagine the angels having to climb up and down, like the firemen. No, it was a staircase. There's some sort of, you know, staircase that came all the way from heaven. And the staircase revealed all the spiritual realm. It was a large expanse, and Jacob was actually looking at it for a long time. And remember, it was all happening in a dream. Bible says that to him, it was like a dream. But it can be a dream vision. You see, what's a dream vision? A dream vision is different from a dream. A dream is like you see things in symbols. That's a pure dream. But a dream vision is an encounter in the spirit. Like, for example, when Joseph and Mary, in the New Testament, Joseph, in a dream, saw the angel and told him, go to Egypt. And then later on, the same angel appeared in a dream. So it was an encounter in a dream. And so here was more like an encounter in a dream. And it was a real spiritual expanse that was revealed to him. And he was in it for a long time. Apparently, for the whole night. He saw this expanse that was there. As to Jacob, between Esau and Jacob, Esau was taller and Jacob was a shorter man, and smaller in size, about 6 feet and a half, and Esau was taller. And Shammah assigned angels to Jacob when he went to Laban. So it was from that occasion and this place that Jacob actually encountered Shammah. It was Shammah who delivered the word of the Lord. And so, when you look at that, you begin to realize who the angel of the Lord, and we codename him as Shammah, the one angel who was to be introduced himself to David, and who also assigned three generals to David. And they've been working with David, working with us, in seeking to bring us into the end time move of God. And so, this panorama was also given so we understand who we are dealing with. Imagine dealing with the same archangel that was dealing with Jacob at that time. And it was Shammah who assigned the angels to Jacob when he went to Laban. Now, what was the background of Laban? Not much is mentioned in the Bible. And when anything is not mentioned, it's left to your imagination, as long as it doesn't contradict God's word. But we have more information on what Laban was like. Actually, Laban and Jacob are similar in character. Except that Jacob now, he was open to the spirit realm, but he's still unaware of his angels, still learning. While Laban, he was also scheming, and he actually had a lot of false gods and idols in his house. And he also has a lot of demons in his house. So Laban was a man who got bad demons in his house too. And so he was a real idol worshipper. He even had a spirit of divinity to tell fortune. And that means he's relying on demonic power. So you could imagine, now you see the picture that when Jacob was going to work under Laban,
it was not just the clash of two personalities. Because when you read the Bible, all you see is a clash of two personalities. Both scheming one against the other. Behind it were demons working in Laban's life, clashing with angels working in Jacob's life. And that's how, no matter how the demon tried to make Jacob's life miserable, and all that, God still worked through goodness in Jacob's life. God still taught Jacob how to overcome all the exploits of the demonic activity. And so Jacob working under Laban would be an illustration for some Christians who might be working in a very, very demonic environment. And that doesn't mean you have to be like a Jacob. And that doesn't mean that you have to be scheming like him. But it tells you that God still can prosper you and bring goodness into your life, no matter what the environment that you live in. And so it was a clash between the spiritual realm of light against the spiritual realm of darkness that was there. Jacob, in the meantime, continued the appearance of angels, dreams, voices that teach him all the things to do. And this we find recorded in many, many ding-dong-ding-dongs together that Laban and Jacob had, which Jacob, in the end, he complained about how the many times that Laban tried to cheat him. Chapter 31 in Genesis, it says here, as he was talking to his wives, Rachel and Leah, says in verse 6, "And you know that with all my might I have served your father." Genesis 31 verse 6. "Yet your father had deceived me, changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be your wages, all the flocks bore speckle. If he said thus, the streak shall be your wages, all the flocks bore streak. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at a time when the flocks conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. Lift up your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, gray-spotted, for I've seen all the labor is doing to you. I am the God of battle, where you anointed a pillar and where you make a vow to me." Every time you see that kind of declaration, God was revealing himself, and the voice that was speaking as representing God was usually Shammah speaking for. Because some of the works with the angels are working together with Jacob on other small things, it will be the angels teaching him what to do, countering the work of demons that was working through Laban's life. And so there you have that, the behind the scene that we can see and learn something about. And then at the end of it, in chapter 32, verse 1, you notice how angels was always constantly in the life of Jacob. When Jacob has left Laban, it says, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And there's a whole group of angels. The large number of angels he saw was probably several hundred angels he saw. And so these angels were constantly working in his life all the time, and it was shown to him to reassure him. And then we have this incident as recorded that I was also curious about, which I checked with Pastor David on what he actually saw. In chapter 32, Jacob wrestling with what some people think is an angel. But you look at chapter 32, verse 24. The actual Hebrew word translated correctly here: "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him under the breaking of day." And some people wonder, okay, what is this and who was this? And which I also asked Pastor David, what did he actually see of that incident? It was not an angel that he was wrestling with. It was a spirit being, a good spirit being. And remember, spirit beings bring wisdom, energy, power, and all those dimensions of the spirit. And those are the spirit beings were necessary to build the ark. Spirit beings are necessary to gain skills to work the things of this planet, of this life. And spirit beings energize. And spirit being later, when we look at the life of Elijah, Elisha, are involved in the healing miracles. Spirit beings are involved in the parting of the Red Sea. When anything to do with governments and the government of the earth, the law of gravity, atoms, molecules, and all those things, spirit beings are involved. And it's interesting that the original Hebrew didn't put the word angel. Some of your old translations still put the word angel. And that's why we thought that it's wrestling with an angel. But in verse 24, the original Hebrew says, and a man wrestled with him. So it was not an angel, but it was a spirit being. And the spirit being actually wanted to impart some blessings to Jacob, but want to draw him out. Want to sort of draw out his desires in him. And Jacob, of course, although he had some desires for the things of God, his spiritual desires were mixed with carnal desires or carnal approach. Sometimes what he desired is correct. And we all know the English proverb that the end never justifies the means. In other words, just because the end result is what you intended, you use anything by hook and by crook to meet the end, it doesn't justify it. Because if you use a wrong method to fulfill the right thing that you want to do, it makes the whole thing wrong. It just makes the whole thing wrong. And for example, you want to help the poor. But then to help the poor, you try to be Robin Hood. You rob the bank and then give money to the poor. It never made it right. Helping the poor is right, but robbing the bank is wrong. So the method that you use to get the money to help the poor was wrong. Makes the whole thing wrong. So sorry, Robin Hood. And that makes the whole thing wrong. Jacob was a person who sometimes had the right desire, but used the wrong method. He used the wrong method to cheat his brother of the birthright. And then together with the mother, they cheated Esau of the blessing. All these cheating methods. And no doubt they want that blessing that was there, but they, by hook and by crook. And so that thing has to change. That thing has to be dealt with. And the spirit being was knew how to get him to come out of that. And so there was still that thing there, that carnal nature, using carnal means to do spiritual work. And mind you, today in churches, even ministries, that is still being done. Just because when you need money for God, we will go any old how to get money for God. That is also wrong. We need to depend on God in prayer and faith and the right methods to raise money for God. And just because we want to evangelize the world, then we compromise what we do in church to attract people to church. Well, you might as well have dancing clubs, you know, and show, you know, all the most worldly movies to attract people in. You can get people, but those are not people who are going to be spiritual. And so sometimes people are desperate for results, they use carnal method. Remember, the carnal method means you're still a Jacob, not an Israel. And so God wants to draw all those changes in a person's life. It takes a commitment, mind you. It takes a commitment to prosper in the right way. You don't want that to prosper, you want to prosper in the right way. And you know there are people in the Bible like that. Abraham was one of them. The king of Sodom wanted to give him all those things. He says, I'm not interested. I don't want even to take one shoestring or one thread from you. Lest you say you make Abraham rich. See, Abraham wants to be blessed, but he doesn't want to be blessed the wrong way. Same like Jesus. Jesus wants to conquer the world. Do you know the devil offered him a shortcut? In the temptation, of three temptations recorded after the 40 days, there are many temptations, but the three recorded, in one of the temptations, the devil took him to a high mountain, show him the glory of the world, and say, all this will be yours if you bow down and worship me. Shortcut. Get the whole world. What the devil has offered to Jesus, he's offering to humans today. So the end never justifies the means. The end and the means must both be sanctified and holy. And that's the part that Jacob needs to get rid in his life. You can see, very prominent. And, Jacob, so today we can use the word Jacob, or sorry if your name is Jacob. We can use the name Jacob to represent one who has spiritual aspirations but still use carnal method. And I tell you, the Jacob phenomenon is so prominent even in churches, so prominent among Christians. And sometimes when a person says, this is a Christian business, you go with them, you go near, you say, hey, it's a Christian business just because you are a Christian, but every method you use is all carnal. So it's not really a Christian business. It is just a business with Christians in it. A Christian business applies Christian principles 100% all the way down. From the top right to the bottom, you make sure that all the principles are in line with the Bible and with the spirit and principles of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That will be a true Christian business. And so a business that just has Christians in it is not a Christian business. It has to have Christian principles applied. And you choose to use the right principles and not just worldly principles. Otherwise, it is another Jacob business. Which you have a lot today. And so this spirit being knew how to draw that poison out of Jacob's life. And so the actual physical way, see, when you read the Bible, you cannot visualize how it took place. And so I like the way Pastor David was describing the spirit. It was like a wrestling thing. And Jacob, you know, when he tried to wrestle, the spirit being would just sort of go to the side and pat him there. And then he tried to wrestle him, tried to grab him on the other side, he just moved and pat him. So he continued to do that for quite some time. And he did that for quite some time. And then after some time, one of the pat was slightly harder. Yeah, so when he pat him, you know, so he pat. And Jacob, and his hip bone was disjointed. And so he was drawing out all the things on Jacob. And finally, remember, that spirit being was stronger than Jacob. The story is that I don't need the panorama to know that the spirit being was stronger than Jacob. Look, one touch was enough to destroy his bone. They tell you he was playing with Jacob. He was already stronger. And it's not that, wow, Jacob so strong, could grab this spirit being and he cannot go. No. All this is just something to go down to his level. Because that was his level and his understanding. And many times God come down to our level. You see that in the Bible all the time. You see in the Bible there are laws regarding slaves. Correct. But that doesn't mean that God sanctioned slavery. Because in those days, in the time of Moses and time of Abraham, slavery was still sanctioned by all the races and nations of men. So God has to say, okay, this is how you deal with since you're in that situation. But in the New Testament, Paul says, there's neither slave nor free. So the revelation of Christ tells us, all men are made equal. No one should be born a slave. Whether you're born royal or you're born slave, and your father was a slave or your father was a king, no difference. So it's only in Christ that the mankind is able to take a higher revelation, then God flow with a higher revelation. And that's why it's important to understand that there was progressive revelation into the New Testament, so that when you look at the Old Testament, some things have passed away because they don't apply today. And today, the consciousness of all nations of the world is slavery is wrong. Now, I know there's still illegal things taking place. We're not ignorant of that. But generally, slavery is banished and banned in the United Nations resolution. And so, all nations of the world are equal. All men are equal. Whatever your color, race, or whatever your background. It's because we have progressed. And so, when the spirit being was wrestling with Jacob, he was just coming down to his level. That's the way he wants to receive things, then that's the way he will flow down to his level. It's just like how sometimes God flow with us when the way we pray. And we might pray not 100% the way God wants it, but it comes down to a level, he accepts our prayer. So Jacob was so used to getting things by manipulation, and so the spirit being who was much stronger than him just came down to his level and flow with his level. And so when Jacob's hip was out of joint in verse 25 of chapter 32, finally he says, "What's your name?" And he says, "Jacob." And in verse 28, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed." And Jacob, of course, desired to know, "What is your name?" And he says, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he said, he didn't reveal his name, but he just blessed him. And so Jacob called their place Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." But from that day onwards, Jacob walked with a limp because of his hip. Now his name is Israel. Now he no more manipulative. And he's just walking with a limp all the time. And that was a major change that is there. And I thought that was interesting to show us the work of the spirit being behind the scene. And in this panorama, the other place that we look at next is the life of Joseph. And as you look at Joseph, Joseph has a kingly appearance, kingly countenance. He was dignified looking like Abraham. He was fair, but not as fair as his brother Benjamin. Of all the 12 children of Israel or Jacob, Rachel and Leah looked similar. They were like fair Middle Eastern Indian look. And of all Jacob's children, Benjamin was the fairest of them all. And the others looked ordinary. But Joseph, he was fair but not as fair as his brother Benjamin. And the thing about Joseph is that he always had an angel looking after him. And then we read the story of Joseph in chapter 37, when he was thrown into the pit by his brothers, and the brothers got angry with him. It says here in verse 24, "Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And at the time as they threw Joseph into the pit, Shammah say these words to David, who was looking at the panorama. When Joseph was being thrown into the pit, this is the fifth instruction that came from Shammah. Shammah said, "Look, from here, God is going to fulfill his purpose in Joseph's life. And soon, I will be assigning my angels to him." And from that time, the three angels were observing Joseph's life. One was with him, two were always observing. And these are the three angels later on assigned to Moses too. The three generals who are now with you, who are assigned to you. Say, wow, three generals. And you say, wow, even wherever he go to market, you know, everywhere, you know, the three angels following him. So at first he thought was bodyguard. Now we realize that their pankat very high. Okay. The Shammah is in charge of all the army of God. And these are not small fellows; these are big fellows. In fact, during the time of David, one of them would go lead a whole group of army of angels fighting. So most of us are curious: why did God send all these powerful angels? You know, what's happening? Good question. That's why you got to pray all night and know that from now until we move to the next place, we're in a preparation stage. Because all the revelations given from the left panel of the queue, or the future, is our future. They all saw us at the size. We reach critical mass when we are about 600 strong, and we're in a different place. And so from now till then, they're preparing us for something to do with the end times. So let's be patient. Let's work with God. And here's the thing. some events must take place first. I always tell Pastor David, when we are together, I say, God is waiting for certain events to take place. Events in some of our lives, individually, events in general in the world. And according to the timing of God in those events, then he began to release more and more manifestation. Things that he wants us to do. And in the meantime, we want to be obedient to do all that God wants us to do. But some of the events are not like what we expect. In Joseph's life, when he was thrown into the pit, and then Shammah said, from here, Joseph will fulfill God's purpose in his life. He said, he's going downhill. He's going downhill. He's about to be killed, about to be sold, about to go for the 13 worst years of his life. And he doesn't even know. He got also prison time in store for him. So some of you, you wonder, you know, you thought that when God promotes, outwardly, it will be like from glory to glory to glory. But our concept of glory to glory is richer to riches, to the most riches. And then in every area, you know, going higher and higher. But the things of the natural and spirit doesn't quite coincide sometimes. In the end, it will all pan out and you will be blessed spirit, soul and body. But in the process, things might not work exactly like what we think. Who would have dreamed that when he was thrown into the pit, he says, from here, the purpose of God will be fulfilled in his life. Wow, 13 years. He's 17, he's thrown inside. At the age of 30, then he stood before Pharaoh. And of his 13 years, he served as a slave, he served in prison. He still didn't know he's going to be in prison. He had an emotional traumatic time. In fact, the Bible tells us later on, the brothers of Joseph, when they talked to one another in Egypt, after they realized when they were sort of locked up by Joseph, who was at that time in charge, they said to one another, "Didn't we, remember when he cried and our little brother?" So they felt guilty. They said the bad things happening because they have harmed their younger brother. So it was a traumatic time. And I could see, you know, in the Bible it tells us Joseph was literally bawling and crying. See, what a traumatic emotional time. And then in all these worst of times, it was almost like a tale of the two cities. It was the worst of times and it was the best of times. But this one, it was the worst of times. And to God, it was the best of times. And in the spiritual world, it was when he started these good things that were happening in Joseph's life, or rather God's purpose. But God assigned angels. It's God assigned angels to Joseph to protect him, to make sure no harm came to him. So while he was crying and not seeing the spiritual realm, you could never imagine what God is doing. So remember, in your life, some of your promotion goes downhill before it goes uphill. You will end up on Mount Everest, finally in God. But sometimes, you know how even when you climb mountains, as you travel, sometimes you go downhill before you go uphill. Because there were many hills before that big major mountain. It's not like, oh, there's one mountain that you go all the way up. So, last time in KL, we used to drive from KL to Genting. And when you drive from KL to Genting, you thought, all the way up. No. There's some paths that go up, then go down, go up, go down. Then only you reach a certain place all the way up. So when you're going down, you say, hey, why am I going down? I should be going up. Because that's the way they build a road. And it passes through several valleys and hills before you reach the foothill and then you start going up. In the same way, must not be discouraged that as long as you love God, as long as you're true to God, God will work in your life. But besides the three generals who are watching over Joseph's life, when Joseph was in prison, and he was interpreting the dreams
of the prisoners in chapter 40. Different things happened to him and he landed up in prison, falsely accused. And you see him interpreting dreams in chapter 40, verse 1, right on to verse 23. He interpreted the chief baker and the chief butler's dream. The butler was spared, the baker died. And it happened, if the dream was fulfilled within 3 days. And at the time Joseph was able to interpret dreams, there was actually an appearance of a spirit being. There's a spirit being that's working in Joseph's life. This is a spirit being of wisdom. And this spirit being of wisdom that came into Joseph's life and gave him the ability to interpret dream came permanently into his life when he stood in chapter 41 after he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Even the non-Christians could see something in Joseph's life in chapter 41. Pharaoh, when he considered Joseph and Joseph's interpretation of his dream, Pharaoh said in chapter 41, verse 39, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning, as wise as you." See, the spirit that came to Joseph, not just the angels, Joseph also had spirit beings working in his life. In verse 38, Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Now, in the tuning of Pastor David's open vision on the right side, he sees angels as human form. Spirit beings you see like a ball of light. But spirit beings do also have form. The spirit beings have also made appearances in my life from early days. And the same interpretation of dreams that the Lord has given came from spirit being also. And for me, the spirit being come in forms. And I see them as form. They say, how come two persons speak spiritual world slightly different? Slightly different frequency. And so, like for example, I might see angels sometimes as lights, but you see angels as form. And then I might see spirit beings as forms, but you see them as light. And so, open vision got many, many levels, many degrees. And we both haven't reached the stage of Moses or Jesus yet. There's a lot of progression that we still got to progress. Even in open vision, still got a lot of progression. Of course, by now some of you say, "Wow, how to catch up?" We blur, blur, black, black, dark, dark. No open vision. You got open vision to different one. This for Pastor David, his the right side is open of the cube. For me, the upside, the part of the heaven. So you see, well, you got different different angles of open vision. You all haven't even started in the cube, and then you see the different levels of cube. You say, "Beside lah, gone." Right. That's where all night is for you. This meeting is for all of us. Because in this atmosphere, as we pray, there is such a thing as it rubs upon you. Now, to be rubbed upon you doesn't mean you got to always hang near Pastor David. No, it's not physical closeness. You can be at a distance, any place is, as I taught on the transference of the spirit, is frequency. If your desire and frequency had the same manner, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and resonate in your life. So it's the passion, the desire of the things of God under how to receive an impartation of the Spirit, under the transference of the Spirit series that we're teaching in the second service. And so it's more the frequency and the resonance. And so just by being here, participating in whatever God is doing, some things are rubbing into your life in more than we realize. Now, why did the spirit of wisdom come upon Joseph? Spirit of wisdom come upon Joseph because of many things that he has to do.
From that day, as he stood before Pharaoh, Pastor David saw all the things that Joseph did in detail. And it says, the spirit of wisdom came and manifested when Joseph was interpreting the dreams in prison. And then, as he stood before Pharaoh, this spirit being who has followed him all sometime came to him, and then it became like a part of his life constantly. And the three angels were still there, protecting his life. The storehouses that Joseph built came with great engineering marvels. They were engineering marvels. He had to create a route to transport the grain to store in the storehouses. He also had to invent ways how to preserve and store them. He invented new ways of barns, vents to prevent the mold from gathering, and different types of grains on the farms to be stored differently all over the place. And the systems were designed to deliver, to organize the logistics of the enterprise. Don't forget, in the 7 years of plenty, all this abundant grain has to be stored up. And they built it in all the cities. All this take wisdom. It was like building the ark, but now he's building these storehouses to preserve the people during the 7 year famine that is coming. And so all this came from the spirit of wisdom. And at this point, we finish Joseph's life. But just as we finish Joseph's life, there's an application and a thought that I'd like you all to think about. When you see the Bible story in Panorama, you realize this, that we are all as humans not as smart as we think we are. Even the wisest of us, the most discerning of us, are wise because the Spirit of God came on our life through the Spirit being and worked with our life and gave us wisdom. I believe the same Spirit being, so they give scientists, mathematicians, inventors the same skill. We know in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, that it was the Spirit of God that came upon Aholiah and Bezaleel. They give them the skill to craft gold and to make workmanship with skill. Those are very natural things. Natural talent also came from the Spirit of God. Skills and talents and wisdom and knowledge. Which again, I point to this fact. We know how free will is there. But if I were to take your ability to think, what is your free will? Think about that. If all our ability to rationalize and think and be conscious is removed, what are you going to do with your free will? Your free will functions, needs the function of your conscious mind. So your conscious mind receives sensory input and data. And by the amount of data, you make a decision. You see the different path that you could travel. And then you make a decision which path. But if you lose this ability to deal with knowledge and data, your free will is completely useless. You can't make much decision. So we see that this knowledge and data, this ability to get knowledge and wisdom is important. With this ability to get knowledge and wisdom is important, then I ask another further question. Which came first? The spirit life or the thoughts? Now we know that thoughts can also attract, wrong thoughts can attract, after some time, become an obsession, can attract demons. But when you look at it carefully, our thoughts came from, the good thoughts especially, came from the spirit of life. The life of the spirit beings assigned to us. And we are all the time influenced by the life of God flowing through us. And so the next time you have a bad thought, or a downcast thought, or a negative thought, it might not be your thoughts. It might be demonic dimension funneling those thoughts into your life. And the next time you have inspirational thoughts or thoughts of wisdom, remember, it might not be your thoughts. you might have tapped upon the flow of God's wisdom. They just flow right through you. And if that is so, then it's important for us to know that the life of God is very important. And having the right source, the right energy source. Because if you tap on what negative energy source, suddenly all the negative thoughts come. You talk on a positive life source, which is God, all the good thoughts flow forth. So before thoughts are formed, the source of energy of the thoughts need to come forth. So when you deal with thoughts, don't just deal with what the thoughts are. You deal with the source of the thoughts. And from the very source where thoughts flow from, you tap upon them. Which is why even in all-night prayer, one day I was having a conversation with one of those who come for all-night. And then I told him what happens during all-night, how my thoughts would flow in God. While I'm praying in the Spirit, my thoughts would flow. And my thoughts are not all over the place. So the person said, wow, my thoughts are all over the place. During all-night. They say, what do you think about? Say, all kinds of things are just come. I said, then you ever enter into the rest. When you enter into the rest, you pray, enter into the rest. In all-night prayer, it's not that you try to focus your thoughts. It's not a mental time. It is your heart and your mind is at peace. And it's like you tap on a flow of a river of God's thoughts. Even while you're praying in tongues, your mind is at peace. And if your mind is all over the place, then you need to pray more and meditate more on the Word. Which we allow you in all night prayer. Go to the site, meditate some and all that. And I still meditate on the Word from time to time. I meditate because I love to confess the Word. I love to speak it forth. It's like an energy source. And so just as our thoughts are produced from energy source, once you have the thoughts, your thoughts itself began to radiate another energy source. It can attract demons or it can build your life. Because in the spiritual world, some law of physics still apply. Energy cannot be destroyed. It can only flow from one form to another. There is a law of the conservation of energy. So spiritual energy is never lost. It seems to be lost, but it is converted from one form of energy into another. From life into thoughts. From thoughts back into life. It flows in different dimensions. Energy is never lost. And there's a law of the conservation of energy that is still true in the spiritual dimension. As it is in physical dimension. Praise God. So we have considered the two lives that we have gone there. I'm pondering whether I should go to Moses or leave Moses for the next Friday. But I think we have touched on two lives. I should leave Moses for the next week. Moses' life is a full life in itself. And so we stopped with Jacob and Joseph's life so that we could have more time to pray. And as we consider these lives in God and we talk about the thought realm and the dimension of thought, and speak also as draw a conclusion from the scriptures to show the importance of thoughts as we go into prayer. Just as we see thoughts come to Jacob, ideas are given to him in dreams. And when you are running your business, you don't run the business with just your own mind, your ability. Even if you got university training, or you got business training, or you got a master's in business or doctorate in business, all the training you absorb, in the end, you still need the Spirit of God to help you, to give you the right idea, to know what to do, and the leading of the Lord. And whether business or your professional life, and sometimes in your own daily life decision. But let's take a concluding look at these two lives in Jacob and also in Joseph's life. We see a few things. One is that there's a demarcation point in their life. There was a certain point when some things begin. And at those points when some things begin, it looks almost like a crisis point. When Jacob was running away from his brother, that was when God met him. when Joseph was thrown into the pit, that was when his destiny began in his life. And so there are important events that will take place, that needs to take place, sometimes caused by others, sometimes caused by yourself, but all in all, God is still in control. And there are certain events still need to take place in some of our lives before we cross an event horizon where God starts working differently in our life. In one of the instructions that is given by Shammah to David was, even a prophet has to wait for the right person. And that was later in David's life. And so the right person will only show up at the right event when they have completed certain events in our life. And right now, there are many events that are working. Personal events, some are major events that needs to take place in our personal life and also in terms of the world. But important thing, why we pray in the Spirit is one of the instructions given by Shammah, also that's during the time of Daniel. By Shammah was when Daniel was able to interpret the Babylonian king's, King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Shammah made this statement. And this statement, interestingly, I also make the same statement in my teaching on fasting and prayer. That's before this panorama thing. And I make this statement. Prayer and fasting is the key to everything. Mention that in my series on prayer and fasting. And then here you got Shammah making this statement, saying, when Daniel had a vision, remember he needed a dream to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream and then save their own lives. So Daniel actually fasted with his three friends. And so during that event, Shammah turned to David and says, prayer and fasting is the key to all things spiritual and natural. And then he looked very fiercely at David. When I read that, I laughed. But think about it. If prayer and fasting is the key, mind you, to everything, then it's important that we keep using the key. If I give you a skeleton key that say can open every cupboard, how valuable do you think that key is? Now, if fasting and prayer is the key to everything, natural and spiritual, which is why we encourage, we have gone through several periods of prayer. We've got a 40-day fast, 7-day fast, 21-day fast. Some of you ask, when's the next fast? Eddie is always concerned because he's got to go and do shopping for his clothes. Right? If the fast is permanent, he's got to change all his clothes. And so, because he's been losing a lot of weight. And so now, until the Lord gives us further instruction, we now incorporate fasting weekly in our church every Friday. We corporately fast together, and whether you got something to pray about, nothing, you just fast, because prayer is the key. Prayer and fasting is the key to everything spiritual and natural. And then in all night, you pray through. Just pray in the Spirit. You don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. And don't worry if your mind is all over the place. I used to experience that as a young Christian. And how did I came out from that? Well, I came from a Baptist background. I was not from the Assemblies of God or Pentecostal background. I came from a Baptist background, went to Baptist seminary, and it was there that I got baptized in the Spirit and struggled for some years about tongues. And later when I started the independent ministry, I was curious about all these things. I began to accept them as the work of the Spirit. I even doubted my own tongues at one point and wonder whether is this really tongues and why is it sounding so funny. Why? Because my tongues got only a few syllables. Maybe if your tongue got a few syllables and every time you pray, you say, well, you want me to pray 6 hours all night like that? Yeah, don't worry, just do that. And so, when I was learning to pray in tongues in those days, I say, the Bible, I read everything I could in the Bible about tongues. See, tongues edify, tongues do this and all that. I said, okay. And then enter into the rest. So I said, okay, let me give a try. So I pray in tongues, and pray in tongues every day regularly, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then one day I pray until about 5-6 hours. Then somewhere along, but I've been praying regularly. And then one day I pray extra long. And I pray about 6 to 8 hours. And then as I prayed, something happened. Because my mind when I pray in tongues used to run all over the place. While my body is sitting down, and my physical person is sitting down, the mind was like running a marathon, thinking 1,001 things. But as I was praying, when I reached about 5-6 hours of praying in tongues, suddenly the mind go quiet. Now I could still think, but suddenly the mind was not running anymore. And it was very quiet. And I said, well, what's happening? But I kept praying in tongues. And as I kept praying in tongues, then in that quietness, I began to hear the voice of God. And at a point where it's very quiet, I experienced a certain presence, a presence of God. Now I look back, I know it's the presence of God. And as I look back now, I know what it was. It was entering into the rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. And you can include verse 11 and 12. It was also Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Where the peace of God had garrisoned my heart and my mind. So something had come around it, the peace of God. It was no more running. So I know what the rest means now. The rest is not a physical rest, you go and rest. The rest, you see, your spirit is already at rest, correct? Your spirit is already in God. So what is the rest? The rest is your soul come to a rest. And your soul consists of three parts. Your emotions, your mind, and your will. Your will comes to a rest when you stop struggling. And you say, Lord, your will be done and not mine. Whether it be this or that, I don't mind. You're not always saying, must be this. And then you're still struggling, not at rest. And then your mind running all over the place. Your mind become peaceful. Your mind is at rest. Your emotions. You don't feel anger. You don't feel bitterness. You're not having all the wrong negative emotions. Your emotions all are just sensing the wonderful rest of the love of God. So when you say enter into the rest, what is the rest? Your physical man, you know, has his own cycles of rest and sleep. Your spirit is already in God. Is the rest is your soul. Your soul experience the rest. And that was what I experienced. Of course, I also had meditated on the word, so a combination of it. And so I began to teach about it in my old teaching, long ago, about 20, 30 years. You hear me teaching about entering that rest. And in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talked about Isaiah 28, where he quoted, says that with men or other lips, I will speak to them. And then he said that was prophesying about tongues. Although in context it was not, but Paul knew interpretation that was in terms of tongues. He used that, he quoted Isaiah 28. And if you read on in Isaiah 28, it goes on to say, this is the rest. So pray in tongues, reach a point of rest. And as you enter into that rest, you begin to experience the presence of God. And I was teaching people about it. And so some people started applying it, and many people entered into the rest. Just pray in tongues. And of course, some of them struggle. I got one person pray, say, and then wrote to me and says, 12 hours still mind running. So I said, I got no solution for you. Maybe each person is different. Just keep on, brother. Keep on. And he prayed. Then his next, long ago, got no email, his next letter came, it took him 16 hours. Then he entered into the rest. And then as I was teaching about this rest and all that, and I enjoying this quietness, and then something came to me and says, if praying in tongues enter into this rest, what happens if you keep pushing on? You see, I'm like a scientist when it comes to these spiritual laws. I want to see the end result. What happens if you keep applying it constantly right to the extreme? What is at the end there? And so one day, I took time to pray 48 hours in tongues. No sleep. So occasional toilet breaks. and I don't go to the toilet that often anyway. And then in between, drink water. 48 hours. So I pray 48 hours in tongue. Of course, I didn't shout and scream. Like some of you might pray in tongue, shout and scream. Wah! And then by 2 hours already, 4th hour, 6 hour, right? And so you got to pace yourself. Praying in tongues long is like a marathon race. It's not the 100-meter dash. 100-meter dash, you put all your energy into it. Marathon, you got to pace yourself. And so I was pacing myself and praying in tongues. After 48 hours, the spiritual world opened. I live in an open vision. And what's that? Wow, the open vision. Like, means when I look up at the sky, if there's an angel flying by, you could see the angel. And if there's a demon down the street, and I saw some demons down the street, walking down the street, I said, wow. But then there were other things you see. Is it nice to live in open vision? Can be quite confusing. Because sometimes you don't know what you see is physical or spiritual. Like when you look down on the ground, sometimes you see like something open on the ground. So you're not sure whether is that a hole, a real physical hole, or is that a spiritual, opening that some demonic area has gone through. And so you cannot walk properly, because sometimes you walk, you don't see the ground alone, you see the spiritual dimensions inside. And then, so it was like multiple facets were open. And so then, if it is a spiritual ground, then you could just a spiritual thing is, you could just physically walk over it. But if it's physical, if you walk, you will fall down. That will be the end of your open vision too. You're injured or don't go to hospital, no. And so, and then sometimes when you see a lot of people, you're not sure which of them is real physical, which is not. So if you're walking, you might, avoid this person, avoid that person, and then actually there's nobody there. So people will look at you, and this one, drunkard lah, you walk. And so, I didn't leave my house that day. And it lasted for the next 24 hours, slowly fade off. But some parts of it remain. See, every time you got a spiritual breakthrough in something, some things remain with you. It remains with you. It never leaves you. And so that was an interesting thing. And that's why praying all night, well, that's all right. It's just a part of the thing that you want to move more into God. And so let's enter into this time of prayer. And remember that in this time of prayer, there's a flow of thoughts. And remember, not all thoughts are produced by you. Some thoughts are produced by God when you link into the right source. And then there's a flow of thoughts that come that you know not from your own self, and you know from the spiritual realm. And I used to teach about thoughts in this manner. Every one of you have been tempted in your life. When you were tempted, those temptations didn't come from God. And if they were temptations, they didn't come from yourself. Some people will say, oh, the devil told me this, the devil will deal. Do you see the devil? No. Do you hear the demons? Do you see the demons? No. Most people don't see demons, they see the devil. Then how do you know they speak to you? Wrong thoughts. See, in the negative dimension, when you get all the wrong thoughts, you knew that it was not you, you knew it was the devil and demon. Then how come the positive thoughts, you never give God the credit? So negative thoughts, the devil. Good thoughts, my thoughts. Oh, as if you're so good and so clever and so holy. We are not that smart. We are all just instruments of God. And many times, God has inspired thoughts. And let me describe what God's voice is like to you. Sometimes when you're hearing a sermon, the speaker is speaking about point 1, 2, 3, 4. Suddenly there's another thought that arises in, it talks about A, B, C, D, E. The speaker didn't mention it, but one or two things trigger a different flow of thoughts. What is those thoughts flowing? That is the Holy Spirit thoughts flowing through you. And sometimes when you read the Bible, the Bible speaks about different things and you're looking and reading. Then another flow of thoughts come about something about what the Bible says. Who is giving you those thoughts? The Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. and that he will show you things to come in the Gospel of John. How does he show you? From the inside. And remember what Jesus said. He will bring to remembrance the things that I said to you. So the act of remembrance was part of the act of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance, what is that? A thought process. So he was working in the thought processes, bringing to the disciples a remembrance of the words of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit actually can work within your thought process and show you things to come. Show you more than all the things to come. Now we know that these six panels that are there. Sometimes you're looking at the left, you're looking at the prophecy and future. You look at the right, you're looking at the spiritual realm. And then you're looking at the present realm. You're looking at the bottom. Looking at the top is the heavenly realm. Looking right ahead, oh, panorama. Look behind you, oh, Jesus and the angels. Different panels that God is operating. The thing about these panels is a cube, is that whatever happens in one side, the other side also happening. They're all interconnected, future, past, present, different dimensions. And you could see all of it simultaneously in six dimensions, things that are happening. So as you tap into the spirit realm tonight, and while Pastor David enters his cube, as a joke, la, new place, he might actually put one plastic cube. Put it inside. But yes. But anyway, as you enter this cube, remember that none of you might have seen the cube, but let me tell you this. If you have ever received any revelation from God, you have a glimpse of one portion of the cube, one section. If you have a prophecy of the future, it is from that side of the cube. If you have once in a while discerned some things in the spirit, you have seen the angel demonic side. And if you have heavenly things, you're receiving a portion from the heavenly. And you have some revelation of Jesus, his disciples, that's coming from one panel. It seems that all revelation flows in these six dimensions. And it's good that you begin to classify it, then you know which excess portion you're having. So while he entering the full cube, some of you can enter the mini cube. And have your portion of revelation. And in the cube, you can see your life. You can see your future. You can see things to come. Remember, these are not just prediction. Jesus actually said it as a promise. Gospel of John chapter 14, 15 and 16. He did say, he will show you things to come. He did promise he will teach us. And the first area that you will always see is area that revolve around your life. And then as your life and your ministry revolve around bigger and bigger pictures, you will see the bigger and bigger picture. And the role that you have in your life, in God. Praise God. So let's rise together. We'll sing a few simple songs. And then we will go into prayer. We slowly dim the lights. And then allow each one to pray in the spirit, in your own manner. Remember, you can worship, you can pray, you can take time to confess a word a little bit. And sometimes I bring my meditation file too, and sometimes I want to, after praying in the spirit, I want to, you know, energize and do some proclamation, and then you proclaim the word or meditate. Flow with the spirit, and it's a free for all. And in the morning, we always call you together, and we have corporate prayer in whatever God leads us. Praise God. So let's worship God for a while as we enter into his presence.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his spirit and his love. Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and the spirit like a dove. Will descend upon your life.
Ramahanga mama mama hanenge miriana la mahanga mama.